Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
Hello and welcome to Imp's WWE Adventures podcast on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Help the network out by leaving us a 5-star review, give a donation directly through Red Circle, and become one of the amazing community by joining the Social Suplex Discord. Link is in the description. Order merch from all our shows over at chopped-tees.com. Thank you to Dickie. Listen to the other top-notch shows here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network, One Nation Radio, Keeping It Strong Style, All Things Elite, Wrestling Art with Chris Things, Trish and Sarah, Tunnel Talk, and Sam Brown's AEW Match Guide. My name is Matt Mayer, aka Imp, and this is your quick look back at the WWE week that was. 30 minutes of Is It the Rumble Yet? No, it's not. We're still just building. We're still just waiting. Still just waiting to get there. A February Royal Rumble given lots of time to wait for it to be the Rumble. They've done a lot better this year than they did last year, I will say that. This time last year, it was just like, oh God, there's nothing that can we get there. Like, it's perfectly fine. At least we've had the Netflix debut. At least we've got this show with Saturday night's main event. So I will say that, in terms of me going, it's another like perfectly fine week, but you have got the Saturday night's main event showcase, and this is definitely better than last year. Last year felt very much, because everything was such a sure conclusion, it's like, oh, okay, we know like, Cody's going to win, Cody's going to go to WrestleMania and defeat Roman Reigns. Like, it was a story I did want to see play out. It just meant like the weeks specifically building to the Rumble were kind of just like, fine. Just like, slowly getting there. We've had the novelty of Netflix. That's probably what's helped it, to be fair. I wouldn't say the shows have all been, like, spectacular, amazing. Like, my reviews last week were being like, it was fine. Yeah, whatever. But anyway, I have got a Saturday night's main events to get through from San Antonio, Texas, with Shawn Michaels and all. So let's not waste too much time. We've got to get through that, and we're going to get through Monday Night Raw. So we'll be all set for the Rumble. So let's talk about Saturday night's main event. Not on Netflix, free on YouTube for me, and live on NBC for them. Yeah, for those of you who are like watching on Peacock, free on YouTube. Europe wins again.
They went for a third spear. Gunther caught him into a powerbomb. Gunther with another powerbomb stacks up Jey Uso. Gunther retains the world title.
And yes, we are starting with the main event, Gunther versus Jey Uso. Part of me thought that we could go through this just in order, because it was pretty much exactly what I was expecting to happen. It's not a television show where it's trying to like routinely keep up with the storylines or the characters or anything like that. It's not a pay-per-view where it's trying to pay off a lot of those storylines or anything. It's a weird mixture of something in between. But the phrase I've fallen onto is that these are character showcases. These are a big Saturday night show, and they use the platform to showcase these characters of the modern day to the newer audience. Part of the way they were talking about it was, Tessitore said it as, old school presentation with new school flair. And that's kind of just what, it felt like that's what the mission statement was for the show, what it was for the last one. So I don't look at this show as something like, oh, this is like booking wise, storyline wise, should I have done this or that? Like, it feels like none of that matters, because it feels like it's a character showcase possibly to people who aren't watching routinely. Like, it's more of a display of, look at this person, maybe wants to tune into TV each week. Like, using it as like a big advert for WWE and to get their characters out there, rather than, you know, advance the storyline or pay something off. So part of me is pretty happy that I'm not on Twitter to see people either going way too over the top in their praise or way too harsh in their criticism. Because I watch this and go, I'm coming into this expecting a 2.5-3-star character showcase show at best. That is my expectation. And that is exactly what I got. The first one told me what it was. The first 5 minutes of a movie tell you what you're in store for. They put their cart out, okay, this is what we're about. Saturday night's main event, the first show, told you, okay, this is what these are going to be. I was like, oh, okay, cool, yeah. So I know what they are now going in. Like, if it wasn't for me doing this, I probably just wouldn't watch them, because I know what they are. They're a character showcase. Therefore, when I talk about it, I will treat it as such. I won't treat it as, like, a TV review or a pay-per-view review. In terms of, like, oh, should I watch these shows, like, as me, like, a casual wrestling fan? Absolutely not. No. Absolutely no. You can 100% skip every single Saturday night's main event. Like, unless you enjoy the vibe, or it has got the old-school presentation, so it does feel different to other WWE shows. They are extremely easy to watch, because, again, they're not a TV show. They are a fully promoted card like a pay-per-view, but it's closer to a TV show in that it's presenting the characters. It's not paying anything off. It's not like a pay-per-view. So yeah, if you're somebody, well, like me, I still haven't gotten around to Collision. I'm recording this on a Wednesday. I haven't gotten around to Collision, and Dynamite's obviously airing the night I'm recording this. I've heard very good things about Collision, and I've still not watched it. So if someone like me, where the reason I haven't is because this bloody Saturday night's main event thing, like, in terms of my free time, I watch this on a Monday. Seeing the amount of stuff to skip through it, it's like, oh, I'm pretty happy I watched it. Like, quite a few days later. Yeah, I've been struggling for AW Collision to actually fit it into my watching schedule. If you're somebody like that, like, yeah, 100% watch Collision over this. Like, no question. Yeah, with the big asterisk off, unless you really, really do dig the vibe of these Saturday Night Main Event shows, because they are very, very easy to watch. For me, they absolutely fly by when you're not watching them live. There's a lot you can skip on these, and when you do employ that relatively strongly, then they're quite a breeze to get through. I find them far easier to get through than Raw, far easier to get through than the WWE pay-per-view. The first thing that immediately hits you, it feels like they've got no time. Like, they've put together like a pay-per-view card, but they've only got 90 minutes. So in the matches, there is no time wasting. They just absolutely just get to it, which means that the show itself feels like it flies by because the matches themselves are going at such a pace. It's America, so you still got like ad breaks and things, and you've got the relatively standard WWE show slowdown stuff, but the matches themselves, there's so little time wasting because they haven't got any. It's a different experience than other WWE shows. But that doesn't mean that you walk away from it going, ha, oh, I watched an amazing show. I walked away from it going, I saw some characters get shown to people. end of positive super review. Jay got to yeet with the tiniest human in the crowd. Yeah, you're damn right it was cute. The match, given all the pomp and circumstance, so even though the challenger came out with 25 minutes left on the show, by the time the bell rang, there was only 15. And on top of that, we got 1 minute of action before an ad break. Thank God I didn't watch this till Monday. And don't worry, after 5 minutes of action, we got yet another ad break. Like, come on, America. Come on. I do not understand the ad breaks, and I never will. This was our one match where the baddie got to slow the pace right down on the show. Made use of the ad break to have the majority of it happen there, before we returned just in time for Uso to start his comeback. Plenty of strike exchanges to let the crowd go yeet for Jay's throws. Little note, nice to hear a WWE crowd chant something like, let's go Uso, rather than something arbitrary like, this is awesome, the catchphrase thing that you would standardly chant. And we finally got on there. We're doing it. I think one of the first notes I had when Triple H started taking over the shows, it's like, it feels like a lot of those Vince-isms want to be eroded, and there's a minor effort for that to kind of start to happen. But that's the kind of thing that takes like a years of influence to kind of like get out of people. And we're getting there. Like, this was the first show where I was watching it. It just suddenly hit me. It's like, oh, actually, it feels like we're finally moving out of that. Moving out of all of those catchphrases that came from the Vince era of just things you just chant at a show. And it really took off when WWE shows just started being not that fun. But you had wrestling fans who wanted to absorb wrestling. So they went to the WWE shows, but WWE weren't giving them what they wanted to see. So they just ended up entertaining themselves. And that kind of stuck around, even in this positive era. And my thing has been, that doesn't belong in this era, because they are actually invested. They are actually enjoying the show. So the anti-show chants don't make sense to me. Things like what? Things like, we want tables. Things like chanting CM Punk during a segment that's not, he's not in. That was all like negative chants against the show. But now the crowds are for the show, so extremely positive. So it makes sense that their chants would change with that. This show, it felt like it was the first sign of evidence of the shift properly taking place. It's not 80s level yet, but we are starting to see the crowds be genuinely invested in what they are watching rather than trying to come up with cool chants to get themselves entertained or anything. But yeah, after years of those chants born out of the product being shite, we're finally getting back to the preferred sound. Like, hell, it became part of the production to pipe in cheers. If you do your job well, that's just not needed. The fact you're piping in cheers at all proves you're not doing something right. Rather than not changing and piping in the cheers. It's such a weird past era. I was re-watching the 2020 Royal Rumble, which is regarded as a pretty good show. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed the women's one, because Charlotte Flair won. At the time, I remember holding it negatively. But I prefer it to the 2019 one, because the 2019 one, I remember watching it, it's like, this is just people coming out. Like, there's no flow or story or anything. It's just people coming out, and then they wait for 90 seconds, and another person comes out, and I'm like, oh, it's you, is it? Like, one person after the other, oh, it's you. But it's when he hits you just how strange that past era is. There's so many weird little things about it. Like, you'll be watching it and then there'll be a quick, really quick, rapid camera cut and you'd kind of just jar yourself on the back and have to, like, blink your eyes like, oh, bloody hell. You'll hear things like local medical facility instead of hospital, or they say sports entertainment instead of wrestler. Like, it's lots of minus ones that start appearing. And it's like, oh, it's when you realise just how strange and abnormal that all is. And it was called out at the time. But now you can really feel it when you go back to those older shows. That 2010s era especially was extremely odd. Extremely strange. In terms of this match, returning from the second ad break got us into a flash run of final flows. Jay with momentum and finally able to dodge Gunter a tad. Doing well at getting the crowd behind him, only for the champion to cut him off. The biggest pop came from a Gunter powerbomb getting jumped out of, then rebounded with an Uso spear nearfall, which then set up into the Uso splash. Actually nailed, and the crowd totally bought the nearfall. The rare sight of a WWE crowd on their feet for the final minute or so. Gunter hit a powerbomb for the win soon after, flipping Uso's spear up into a powerbomb all swift and nice, and a second just for good measure. Cole's final note of the show being, I think tonight Jey Uso earned some respect from Gunter. But my first note before this match had even started, I deleted it, but it kind of like set the tone for me, was that this was a showcase mostly for Gunter. And I kind of went back on it a little bit because they did give a lot to Jey Uso. Because Gunter wasn't featured on the last Saturday night's main event, like same notes for Ripley. Overall, they want to use this to help propel or help put the champions on a platform that weren't on the first show. And I felt like that's what this show did well. That's what it set out to do, and it's what it did. They didn't go out there to put on like a 4-star show. They went, okay, we're going to showcase these characters. We're going to let you know that there's a whole Cody Rhodes, Kevin Owens thing happening at the Royal Rumble. We're going to give Jacob Fatu a platform. For me, he's the guy that comes out of this show the best. And I feel like at the Royal Rumble, he's going to get a really loud pop when his music hits. He's going to get a great reaction. They've done everything they can. They're going to set him up as like a organically growing fan favourite. But yeah, for the likes of Rhea Ripley and for the likes of Gunter, this show was there to establish them and put them on that platform as the champions. Like, these are the other champions that we've got at the moment. Which is why I'm not going to be too harsh on the show. I know what it was going in, and it was that. So I'm not going to compare. Like, I'm not even really comparing it to standard WWE shows, never mind an AEW one. I knew what it was going in. In terms of like other stuff on the show, also when I'm talking about this, you will notice that I just finish a match and immediately jump onto the next thing because it's just a character showcase. There's not many notes. There's also old Hall of Fame lads scattered throughout the show. They know the American TV audience age demographic average. Lads like Ted DiBiase, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I did laugh at Jesse Ventura calling out Governor Greg Abbott before seamlessly shifting into match hyping mode, like without a breath, completely slagging off Governor Abbott. Completely slagging him off. And then immediately just like, oh, Cody Rhodes is going to be everything with Kevin Owens. Like, without missing a beat. You see a lot of the other wrestling personalities from his era at his age. It's like, I'm surprised they can string coherent sentences when there's a camera put in front of them. But Jesse, he still is able just to switch just like that. The Women's World Championship, Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax. Yes, when I get into this match, when I'm talking about the fact that they've only got 90 minutes, so there's absolutely no time wasting. Just imagine it. Imagine a modern WWE show with no time wasting. It's one of my biggest gripes with the current product. It really gets to me, the amount of time wasting, the amount of gaps between the matches. It's always the worst when it's the penultimate match and the main event. That's like a routine thing now, where it takes like 15, 20 minutes to actually get from bell to bell. But it's one of my modern day gripes. A lot of it is down to that Peacock era. I don't know if Netflix now is going to completely shift that, or at least shift it a little bit. Like, is it going to be not as bad? I mean, Raw was pretty bad. Actually, Raw might be a good example of that. Maybe not. But I watched this show and I'm like, this is how easy it could be to watch WWE. It could be like this. I say with the caveat that I'm not watching live, and I do then just skip all the ad breaks and the other time-wasting stuff that's in there. But this match was another example of just getting to the chase. Proven here with Jax immediately headbutting Ripley before the bell, then the action swinging with no slowdown spots and just quickly flying from one main idea to the next. Jax on top taking advantage of that attack before the bell, the peak being hitting a Brett's rope leg drop to a good pop. Ripley our champion with fighting spirit to later on, the crowd pleasing dive off the corner to the outside, and poor Nia took a bump on her arse. She managed to take the bump arse first from an electric chair. So it's very Ripley that's falling backwards, and I don't know what Nia Jax did with her movement for it to happen. I don't know how he did that, but he somehow landed. She must have like lifted her back up or something, but yeah, she landed arse first from an electric chair bump. A riptide for the win, and Ripley got her lovely Saturday night showcase. Did the job. I mean, she got to be displayed in front of the Saturday night audience. Cool, right, on to the next thing. We haven't got much time. And it did exactly that. And I will do exactly that. The Intercontinental Championship, Bron Breakker versus Sheamus. The story hammered hard that Sheamus has never won the IC title, with a special graphic card and all. But Bron Breakker is properly getting over, and he's clearly a lad they're getting behind for the future. So who do you give the win to here on your big character showcase display? I mean, before the bell to me, it was already pretty obvious. You give the guy the win who you're obviously building for the future. But you know how wrestling fans can get like tunnel vision hyped pretty easily with a, when a story just works for a character. So I feel like this little hype for Sheamus has worked, and just give the match some stakes, innit? Nothing crazy. He's never going to win like the building up on Breakker at the moment, but yeah, no, you gotta at least try to make the people care about Sheamus possibly winning. The match itself was your classic modern day Sheamus Brawley affair, and I mean that in a positive way. The flow of a Bron Breakker match is also developing really well, like reaching a damn solid point where you truly believe he can destroy a lad, but also fully understand why he could lose. Exciting attack, but that leaves him open defensively. He's Tottenham, like watching Spurs this season in the Premier League. And I typed that before he took a brogue kick to the face and only just survived with a touch on the ropes. He really is Tottenham. Tottenham then currently do lose. I guess that is where they differ. A rebounding spear for the win, delivered with mostly head into Sheamus's injured ribs. Also, the ad break spot was perfect via one mighty jump off the steps into a spear spot. The sheer impact Breakker causes is always hit with such an oomph. I like it because it means when he eventually loses, I'm not like, oh, they've had to suddenly pin this, take away some of the momentum from this guy. They've just been constantly giving him all of this momentum. So it's like, no, they've constantly told us how he could lose. So that when it happens, it's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Like, it makes sense he could lose. Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens and HBK. Do we love their paperwork? Kevin Owens out in a stylish Cody Sucks Eggs t-shirt. A staple segment style for WWE. Two lads signing the signatures on a piece of paper as an excuse to get the champion and their challenger in the ring to exchange some final words and possibly punches. Kevin Owens took his time to sign, taking the opportunity to deliver more final remarks and then more final remarks as Cody gets it more and more annoyed. Shawn Michaels piped in unnecessarily. He's like, Jesus, dude, you sound so jealous. Owens disrespecting HBK for it. But he got him to sign, so well done, Sean. Shawn Michaels is like unnecessarily just insulting the man. Is like, I'm sorry, what? But he got Kevin Owens to sign, so it's masterful mind play. Shawn Michaels, he main evented against Undertaker. He knows about mind games. Then the relinquishing of the titles, both handing them over to be raised overhead. KO then went for a cheap shot and paid for it. Shawn Michaels in the end sweet chin musicking him to the gob. But when we get to Monday Night Raw, I feel like there's some really good notes in terms of both Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes leaving that show, going into the Rumble in interesting places for how they both spiral out of that match. I talked about that last week with Kevin Owens. I felt like he got the bigger spotlight. How are you going to spiral off of this ladder match into the WrestleMania season? What caught me off guard this week was they did basically that with Cody Rhodes, with his premier CM Punk. The weight of being the champion, it's starting to have an effect on him. He's starting to feel it. It's come with a toll. Cody Rhodes having to finish this story, having to be the champion. He's done it, he's achieved it, but it's come with sacrifices, and now it's all taking a toll on him. I really like that. Speaking of kicking into gear, monster versus monster, Braun Strowman versus Jacob Fatu. Big man Jacob got his character showcase spotlight, all designed to pump the man up right ahead of the Rumble, and what I'm assuming is hoping to be the start of a really hot year for him. Tama and Jacob got to jabber to camera before getting the special entrance walking out with them. Just a match with two big lads charging at each other, the biggest of all going to Strowman, who choo-chooed around the ring and pounced Fatu over the announce desk. The bump that Fatu took looked amazing. It's kind of like he completely got launched. But then a little chuckle as Strowman went for a second run around the ring with absolutely no fuel. Absolutely gassed on that first one as he just jogged around again and eventually got there. So, did someone have a good payoff? Because at the end of it, instead of having to launch himself with a bump or anything, instead Jacob Fatu flapjacked the big tall man onto the announce table before taking us back into the ring for corner hip charge after corner hip charge. It's like, oh, okay. So Strowman, having no energy and deciding to charge around the ring anyway, charge is a strong word, lightly jog around the ring anyway, is what kind of ultimately cost him the match. It's like, yeah, to be fair, you're in this big brawly affair with the Jacob Fatu and you go for a tired light jog. It's like, yeah, you know what? You deserve to lose. It makes sense. Fatu pushed the ref out of the ring and got himself DQ'd. Ref, you suck from the crowd as Jacob fetched the chair to finish his point. A nice distraction for Strowman to blood packet his gob. bigger and bigger reactions every time he went for the moonsault to Strowman. After two, he was walking up the ramp, but there was loud Fatu Fatu chants, reading the room and going for a third in Encore. Absolutely nailed what it set out to do. You talk about character showcases, it's arguable that Jacob Fatu's was the best showcase of the lot. Like, he was showcased the most effectively on this show. I was really, really high on that segment. But anyway, so just so that my recording isn't too long, I'm going to immediately jump into Monday Night Raw live from Atlanta, Georgia. Does it feel like that in Georgia? Let's jump on over live on Netflix for Monday Night Raw.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tap. Also, on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Access big savings every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
To the Royal Rumble, where I can move past Kevin Owens and find out.
Well, here we go. We've had our fun character showcase event with not that many super like high stakes or like huge character moments or anything. Let's dive into the deep end with the way that we ended Monday Night Raw. Cody Rhodes and CM Punk, the champion and the Chicago man, ended the show with... For me, it's interesting because it's a subdued chin wag, but it's absolutely full and overflowing with like character work and getting you thinking about what's going to happen to Cody if he does win the ladder match at the Royal Rumble. It did a lot for both of them, it did a lot to make the Royal Rumble really feel special and important. The same with the championship. There's a weight of the championship. There's a weight of the winning the Rumble. Like, this was really, really effective in elevating everything. But it's just the fact that they did it in a more subdued style, which caught me off guard, because that's not the way WWE often will do their things. Like, there are many things, but subtle's not one of them. They will make sure you're definitely following what's going on, to like, almost in an ending of Stranger Things of, did you know it's Vecna? Did you know it's Vecna? Hey guys, it's Vecna. Just in case you didn't know, yeah, it's Vecna. Yeah, no, I got it the first time. He didn't need to repeat the information 5 times. I got it. But let's just kind of just go through some of the notes I got for this. Punk was pushing buttons, but it's the way that he was doing it. Saying it in a way as, I am a friend. So when I'm telling you this, it's coming from a place of my own experiences or me seeing it on you. But also saying it as somebody who currently aiming to try and win the Royal Rumble. And if I do win, I'm going to come for you. Brutal honesty, even though they're established like a friendship. He's outwardly saying, it looks like this is all getting to you. And talking about his own long title reign, saying that it got to around day 300. And I started to feel it. I started to lose friends over that title too. And Cody just like, go on then, tell me. Tell me, friend, what's next for me? And another incredibly honest CM Punk answer. Empty nights, ironically, in front of sold out stadiums. Cody will burn himself out holding that title, going to all the press things. The early calls, the sacrifices for the family, all of the little knocks and things you'll get from all the high caliber matches. But whilst he's doing all that, and all of that extra stuff, there will be somebody who has got one goal in mind, and they are getting into amazing shape so that they can win the Royal Rumble and they can beat Cody Rhodes. And for me, the absolute best part of the promo was the scene which was like, and that person is going to be me. And because I am your friend, I'll stab you in your front. I just like, oh, really? I really loved it, the way they built that up and the delivery of it. It captured all of the character notes so, so well. And just that line from CM Punk, for me, that just secures everything. Like, it really got across the weight of Cody being champion and the damage it's having on him, and getting across what the Royal Rumble means, and also just the drive of CM Punk. I am doing everything I can to be in incredible shape so I can beat you. You've got all of these things going on, and because he's a former champion, he knows exactly what he's talking about. Like, I know you've got to be doing all of these media things and all of this extra stuff, and it is starting to take a toll on you. However, he knows that, so he can focus on one thing. He's making that crystal clear to Cody, like, if you win at the Rumble, and if I win the match itself, I'm going to be set on you, and that's all I have to focus on. Whilst you will have all of these other million things. You have to actually get to the pay-per-view as champion, and you'll have all these extra stuff because you are champion. Whilst CM Punk, like, he's just got to focus on the one thing. Cody then brought up their WWE past. From OVW developmental to the main roster, he was always chasing CM Punk. But that's not true anymore, because now Cody Rhodes is the one at the front. CM Punk left for 10 years. That's the WWE canon. He left wrestling for 10 years. The WWE canon. Even though they both went to the same company. Just ignore it. Both lads stopping each other, heating up that potential match with a similar note to the Gunter-Seth promo that I'll get to next. I hope you do win the Royal Rumble so that I can show you that the best in the world isn't the best anymore. So they did everything possible to get me excited for this match. But he's going to be interested in the character dynamics of it's happening, showing you characters making their plans, making their promises. Like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then just killing them. None of it happens. I was like, yeah, for me, that's excellent writing. It feels like they were setting something up for me to get excited about. However, the Royal Rumble's about to happen, and we're about to get a completely different kind of swerve. It's not The Walking Dead. We stood there going, why is T-Dog getting all this attention for a sudden? They're like, no. They're not giving us a CM Punk episode because they're going to, like, kill him off or anything. No. This isn't Lucha Underground. But they are getting me interested in what could possibly be if CM Punk were to win so that they can pull it away and either set up the Roman Reigns match or whatever someone else is doing. This is the whole John Cena thing as well. There's the what's happening with Roman Reigns. There's a lot going on in this Rumble. This was yet another amazing segment convincing me that, oh no, I would enjoy a CM Punk match. But honestly, when you're getting strong character work kind of like this, it's like, I'm not really that negative though. It's like, I've got my personal preferences, but if you're going to do it well, then it doesn't really matter to me. It's like, yeah, like, if you put the effort in, you can convince me of anything making sense in your world. The past era wouldn't do that, whilst it feels like this one is putting loads of effort in. Anyway, speaking of putting effort in to make me care about potential stuff, Seth Rollins opened up the show, his fire set on winning the Royal Rumble after his win over Drew last week, listing all the lads he's going to toss over the top rope, talking about who he'll choose after winning, giving us the opportunity to test how folk feel about a potential Gunter versus Seth. The champion himself strode on out in his pressed grey suit. You should focus on winning the Royal Rumble, because I'm not even sure if you've got that in you. Igniting Seth's current tweener fire that has him oozing heel confidence but with babyface heart. It's 2025 and you're not the best wrestler in this company anymore. And as I said earlier, talking about those shit Vince-isms, and then I watched this segment, I'm like, gasp, making a wrestling title match about the wrestling and proving who's the better wrestler. Jesus. Crazy. Then Logan Paul came out, so we move on. Later in the show, we got our reaction to last week's corny, tropey ending with Sammy's kick. Seth taking the apology, given how blatant it was, but openly tells Seth he's not a bestie. Linking with Sami Zayn there as well. For me, one of the best parts about the Cody Rhodes CM Punk segment was it started with Cody Rhodes in the ring trying to address the crowd. He was meant to end the show with a closing promo. However, he'd accidentally been kicked in the face by Sami Zayn, so he's trying to collect his thoughts so that when CM Punk starts talking about it, starting to weigh down on him and starting to struggle, you're actively seeing him struggle to get his thoughts together because he's been kicked in the face and he's genuinely just in a bit of pain. And he's struggling to kind of hold it together. But another nice touch, and that gave a great opportunity for Kevin Owens to be like, ah, giving you the visual. And then we jump to Paul Heyman in the ring to reveal a massive poster of Roman Reigns as the front cover for the new WWE 2K25 game. Before running down the other lads in the Rumble who all aren't Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre was the fella to interrupt, the Bloodline Association putting the wise man in the Scots' sights. "We want," Roman rang out as he cut his jab. "We don't care," as he told his story. He created the Bloodline by being the one that caused Heyman to be out to sea in the first place. Drew winning the Rumble is what led to the man being clientless and available for Roman. I like that touch. Also, Roman Reigns isn't showing up to Atlanta. Come on. They sure wanted him, but no, he's getting paid on Saturday. The segment ended and we broke into advertisements ahead of Sami Zayn versus Drew McIntyre. A perfectly alright telly bout. Sammy somehow got cut on the bridge of his nose, which was arguably perfect given the slower pace of this, like, non-main event telly WWE match. So instead, he got Drew McIntyre just shouting at the referee, just saying, like, come on, look at him, look at him. Keep that pace nice and slow. Zayn got to show his fight as the Scot just chopped him back down and shouted at the ref to end the match. Sami then raining that fire, but his job tonight was to give Drew a win back ahead of Saturday. Feet on the ropes, and the cheeky baddie got his sneaky victory, attacking afterwards to bring out Atlanta's own onto the show. Rhodes running out, Cody cusses to Drew, but blindsided by KO, flowing into Zayn, accidentally giving a haluva kick to Cody. Nice visual of him helping Kevin, convincing Kevin even more that, you are, even if it's subconsciously or whatever, you are going to help me. you can't help helping me and forgiving me, because that's just what we do for each other. Just good stuff all around that. Speaking of good stuff, let's jump over to what I still consider to be the best story in WWE. Xavier Woods versus Rey Mysterio. New Day, with their heel turn, continues to be just so perfect. Also, you know Woods is a heel because he came out drinking hella water. So much water. Atlanta's favourite son, out to perform in front of his family, cutting at the local Atlanta sports team. I then realised this was all during the ad break. Like, I really can't tell sometimes. Amazing post-break reveal with the reserved front row seats for his family all empty. Plenty of slowing down and heat spots for Xavier. Woods' family turning up ringside to reveal they're wearing New Day Sucks t-shirts. Rey surprise and 619 for the win over the New Day lads as he gets his second win in a row. It's more of like a follow-up to last week. Even the family thing was playing off of Kofi's family, so it's repeating notes. But the way that it did it, I felt like just progressed things really nicely. It's both got great stuff for the New Day characters, but it feels like it's just a little bit of fun. I always look forward to these segments. They're always fun to watch. And I'll just quickly get through the other notes. You know WWE is cool because they gave front row seats to all of the rappers. Was the entire Atlanta music scene there at Monday Night Raw? I genuinely lost count. But to be fair, I only know like two of them. Jey Uso came out with like Quavers, I think his name was, you know, the cheesy crisps. In character, the man was using this as like a pick-me-up after his loss to Gunter to like announce himself at the Rumble, get all excited. Also, he used so much energy getting down to ringside that when he got up on the announce desk to cut his promo, he was like, oh, well, I'm Jay. I'm Jey Uso. Oh, it's like, yeah. You use a lot of energy. You in your 40s, calm down, man. Take it down a notch. Also, in my returning segment, as a European, aside from consumer protection policies, what other bonuses do I get? A-Town Down Under interviewed by Jackie at ringside. They insulted 2 Chainz and got away with it. Then I got to hear Judgment Day's okay new theme. I'm split, given the lyrics actually being about them and not some generic slop. Like, it's just obviously nowhere near as good as their previous theme. I also got the longest city panning shot as they plugged something, but I got a panning shot with the loudest silence. It just went on for like a full minute, just panning. And just, they've got the music playing on, underneath. But it's just like the longest panning shot. It's like, I was just assuming for it to progress at some point. It's like, how long is this ad read? It's been like a full minute of just panning shots of the city. Also got Pat interviewing Wood's family. And he just went, Lil Yachty, holy shit. Like, hey, on air outside the US, you can swear as much as you like. Europe especially doesn't care. It's fine. We got the World Tag Team Championships defended by the War Raiders against Dom and JD. The biggest note being that after a dive, JD landed pretty badly, banged his head on the announce desk. It looked pretty bad. In JD McDonagh's own words, like, it could have been a lot worse, and it turns out all he has is a punctured lung. It's like, oh, it looked like it was a really bad bump and like a really bad neck hit on the announce desk. And it's a reinforced Netflix announce desk as well. It's like absolutely no give, so that when he did hit his head on it, it's like, so yeah, speedy recovery to JD, as he I can't remember what he said happened to his ribs, but he did have a punctured lung, so like, not great. The phrase he said was he's going to be gone for the next few months. More Penta. The man got a fancy VTR play declaring for the Rumble. Also just letting him mix in that Spanish so that as he's cutting his promo, none of the Georgians go, what? WWE also remembered there's a women's Rumble too. Lyra, Valkyria and Ivy Nile announced themselves backstage. We also got Nia Jax confirmed with a few other people too. And Rich Latta called it, I don't know how long ago, but Liv Morgan immediately into the tags. I didn't watch SmackDown because I just went straight into Saturday Night's main event. They did use that to set up the match here, but just like, I can't remember how many months ago the conversation was happening. It's like, well, we were expecting Ripley just at some point just to win, so then what happens to Liv? And I swear, it's just like, oh, she's going to be in a tag match, like, come WrestleMania. That just immediately has like, there's not even like a slow fall, like, isn't like she doesn't fall into like Judgment Day character stuff first and then attack things? No, just immediately. Just straight, like the week after. And before I go, The Royal Rumble, the show starts at 6 Eastern, 11 GMT. I'm saying that more as a reminder for myself than anyone, because that is not a normal start time for me. It's either at 1, or if it's early, it's at midnight. And I know what I'm like. I can't forget. Can't forget this time. It means earlier bedtime for me. But anyway, yeah, that was Monday Night Raw, a show where I felt like I had a lot of notes, but I was relatively just quick to get through just because it's decent final show building up to the Royal Rumble. It is a week where the show's happening, but storyline-wise, we're mostly done. Like, we're already all set up for the Rumble. Let's just do it. The reason I'm kind of worried for the Women's Rumble is just that it's a Charlotte Flair promotion, and there's been very little promotion for the Women's Rumble. Almost like, they haven't really got much going on, so we'll just use it to just, yeah, whatever. It doesn't exactly fill me with massive hope that it's going to be that exciting a match to watch. As in, that kind of build almost screams averagely fine Rumble. To be fair, mostly it's because the most recent Rumble I watched was the women's one from 2019, where it's just people coming out one after the other, and it's not that great a Rumble. Anyway, with that, this time next week, are we talking about the Royal Rumble and maybe the Raw afterwards? You know, just have to see how much, like, newsworthy and how much time the Royal Rumble takes up. So with that, I've already kind of gone over time for me. So I don't know what time I'm coming up on. For all I know for you guys, it's like, oh God, it's only 25 minutes. But for me, I'm like, yeah, I'm way over time. So anyway, thank you for listening, liking, engaging in any form, any manner. Always appreciated. Never take it for granted. Please do go check out all the other shows here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. I've also got my individual feed. Thank you to anybody who gives any form of 5-star reviews and things like that to either me, my own personal feed or the Social Suplex feed or any of the show's personal feeds. It means it does a lot to all of us to help get our shows out there. Join the Discord, buy the merch, and I will be back this time next week. And by the time that I'm talking about, well, I will know what the plans are for WrestleMania, we'll have watched the Rumble. And with that, I bid you adieu. Adios.
Access big savings every day. All in the Kroger app. Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.